broadcasting direct from somewhere in the core of cyberspace. You are listening to the J2 Podcast.
Technical difficulties, guys?
Nah, we're just working some of the bugs out of the system.
With your host, Justin Wilson, covering topics such as networking, internet provider news.
Big deal. Our computer. Every 12-year-old kid in Miami has one.
And everything in between.
All systems ready.
We're doing a podcast today. I got JJ and Spencer here. We're just going to kind of, you know, go around and talk about some of the hot button items, if we want to use such terms, and we'll get right into it. You know, I got JJ and Spencer here. You guys can introduce yourselves if you want, and we'll get into it. Spencer, you want to go first?
All right. My name is Spencer. I'm the CEO and founder of SJP Network Solutions IT Support and Blue Broadband ISP.
And where are you at?
I'm based out of Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Cool. And we got JJ, who's also another Southern guy. So go ahead, JJ.
Southern, we're in our own country, baby. I'm JJ McGrath with TechWave. We're a WISP. Just north of a little town called Dallas here in Texas. So, yeah, that's about it. What else?
So we wanted to get together and talk about things since we couldn't get together at WISP America. And we were kind of one of the first things we were talking about was the we saw an article about the Netflix being encouraged to lower their resolution on to say bandwidth and things. And let's talk about that a little. Spencer, you were having some thoughts before the show. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with it. And I think it brings a larger issue at play that, you know, the FCC wants us to bring broadband to rural communities and how many people don't have broadband. But the truth is, if everybody sat at home and used internet today, we'd crash out the whole system. That's clear from all the lockdowns and the quarantines happening.
What you kind of thinking there, JJ?
And what was the main question?
Yeah, with Netflix being kind of pushed to lower their bandwidth usage overall by saying, hey, you know, drop your resolution so not everybody's getting, you know, 4K streams, and, you know, maybe drop it down to 720p or lower just to save bandwidth.
I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, we've seen this past week alone at least a 30% increase in capacity. Like right now, I just was talking to a buddy of mine earlier, just an IT buddy of mine, and we were running at 1.9 gig a second, when normally during the day, you know, it runs us around 1.4, 1.3, something like that. And then the other day, the other Sunday night, we were sustained over 3 gig a second. We're like, God bless, that is on the ridiculous. Sustained 3 gig for hours when it would peak at for 3 gig and then stop down, you know, settle down. So we've seen a huge increase overall. And I'm sure that vast majority of that traffic is Netflix or Hulu, Disney Plus, or whatever.
Yeah, if you guys are like us, I just learned today. My wife told me that we have a niece, and the Indiana schools are now saying they're not going back until like May 1st. So there's going to be a lot of kids at home doing e-learning. I don't know if they're going to do e-learning in Indiana, if they're just, you know, said, you know, forget it. Yeah. But they'll at least be watching Netflix and doing stuff that kids do.
I mean, I think overall, I think it is I'm going to call it responsible internet. I think these big providers are the ones, if we can get them to lower on their side, that would make it a lot better. I know Netflix is pretty damn good at sensing what the internet speeds are. You know, I think here, if you're on the fiber connection, that's one thing. But, you know, for us WISPs that serve the rural market, if we can cut that video refresh rate down, or not the refresh rate, the resolution from 4K or 1080p down to 720 or 480, that would help out a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I don't understand why Netflix has to buffer at whatever's available in the first place.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you could go in and say, hey, I'm fine with watching 720p stuff. I don't have to do HD, especially, you know, everybody likes to think we all got fiber and everything, but there's, you know, I'm in pretty rural Indiana here, and there's places that they're lucky to get a 900 megahertz connection to them, so they're still on, you know, a couple meg plans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so,
but I think in a whole overall, I think it would be great if Netflix and Hulu and Disney and all the other streaming services say, look, guys, let's for now, during this critical time, or at least for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, let's back down the resolution automatically.
Yep.
And you think people would understand that?
I think as long as you preference it, yes.
Think a lot of people would even notice.
I think honestly, they won't notice. No.
At the very most, if every streaming company band together and said, this is what they're doing, let somebody get mad. They don't have a choice. If everyone does it,
true,
it can't hurt everyone, you know, one provider's reputation.
I actually think if you could be considered this more kind of an opt-in, instead of Netflix being auto or whatever it is, immediately default the value to 720, and then you have to go hunt inside of Netflix to tell it to go faster.
I like that idea. And Roku has an option that you can go in the Netflix app and set where you want to sit at. But you have to physically go do that, and the novice user is not going to.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good idea. Just, hey, we're giving you the choice. Do you want to be a good net citizen and, you know, help everybody out? Or do you want to go hoard all the bandwidth like the toilet paper?
Yeah. And I think that, so they make them, I don't know if they can, but hey, Netflix mass change, set the default to 720, then you opt in on the individual user basis.
Yeah.
You know, I would assume they can do that programmatically, but, you know, force an update to the app itself.
Yep.
And then, of course, send everyone – they have everyone's email address on file. Send a mass email out.
Yeah.
You know, hey, here's what we just did. If you want better streams, then you go do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you have a fiber connection and, you know, you have 100 megs and your provider hasn't said anything to you, go for it.
Yep.
Yeah, JJ knows to the extent of how cheap I am. Yeah. So when I watch Prime Video, I go to other options, and I only buy the TV series in standard definition because it's $2 cheaper.
Yep.
Or, you know, a dollar or $10, however much, depending on if you're buying one episode or a series. It's funny how that works, how they've hidden the standard as cheaper, but you have to click more options to get to it.
Okay, that makes sense. What are you guys using to monitor your networks to see the spikes in traffic usage? Any favorites?
We use the Dude, so I can quickly look at the Dude, and I can see. I kind of treat it like my weather map, so I can see. I only use the Dude to go tower to tower traffic, and then from down into the NOC, and then from NOC to the outside world. So I just monitor the main infrastructure links. That's all I do.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. I mean, we have UNMS set up for issues, but we don't physically monitor it. When a customer calls in, we'll check it and say, oh yeah, we got historical issues. But for the most part, we monitor with the Dude. You know, I've got it up on my screen right now. And particularly in these dire times, I usually have our fiber core router up, and I'm just watching and, you know, the interfaces and the bridge.
Yep. Yeah, it's easy to understand. You know, anybody can understand it. And are you guys setting thresholds and things like that to say, hey, if it gets, you know, if I have a 2 gig circuit and if I get 1.8 gigs turn collars, or are you guys just, you know, just watching it?
I do have thresholds set. But once again, if I'm at home, I'm pretty much just watching it on a screen.
Yep. You guys doing anything fancy, JJ? Just or letting it fly?
Nah, we're kind of, we're not, nothing too fancy. I want to take it to the fancy level at some point, but not right now. We're not.
Yep.
The problem is that I was taught a long time ago, who's going to feed the giant.
Yes.
So, yeah, you can build the system, but unless you're sitting there monitoring and maintaining and creating action items based on that data, then why are you doing it?
Yes.
Exactly. Yep.
So one of the things that kind of prompted this is we were not able to go to Wisp America this year, and you know that little town of Dallas there. And so that prompted us getting together here and just talking. What's one of the things you guys missed most about going to Wisp America?
Well, for me, it's always I love just hanging out with the vendors, beating them up on them. You know, hanging out with the operators, just. I find more value just sitting there talking to people.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go for it, Spencer.
I'm the same way. You know, it's funny. The first Wisp America I attended, I attended every session. I said hello to people. You know, I met people in the bars. And now I go, I mean, there's select sessions I want to attend, but – at the end of the day, if I were to miss every session because I'm having a good one-on-one with an individual about what their issues are and they've solved them, they could fix something for me later on, then I got my money's worth.
Yeah,
that's what I miss.
Yeah, yeah, just being able to, you know, now since we've been kind of cooped up at home, and it doesn't bother me that much because I work from home most of the time, but,
yeah.
You know, we're not big kitchen people, so my wife and I go out to eat quite a bit and things like that, so I miss that, but, you know, I look forward to, you know, at least a couple times a year, you know, three or four times the mum got canceled too. So, you know, talking geek, you know, being able to, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
I'm real sour over mum too, because I'm like, that was our last opportunity for a Wisp get together. Unless you're in Texas. There may still be an opportunity in July.
Yeah.
You know, now we have to wait till Vegas until October. And
Vegas is always crazy. Yeah. I always look forward to the spring show cause it's a little smaller. So you get to talk to people a little more. It's usually a little more compact. So you're not walking a 45-minute round trip to your hotel room just to drop something off and, you know, it's nice just to relax. Vegas is just go, go, go.
And honestly, that's what I like about MUM so much, is that it is really a close niche, and it's the same people that go every year. So it's a real tight group of us.
Yep.
That really just makes it, to me, quite more enjoyable.
And we're still trying to do the Indiana one in May. I'm not sure, you know, like everybody else in the world, our indicator is going to be what's going to happen with the 500. We're going to kind of follow along with whatever the Motor Speedway does. Some people have talked about, well, they'll still run the race, but nobody will be there. It'll just be on television and on the radio. And so, you know, we're gonna kind of go along with them. I'm hoping things will be ironed out a little before then. I just read that they have some new drugs that they're gonna try to push through trials and stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah. So when are y'all gonna make the decision about the Indianapolis meetup, Jason?
I think it's mainly gonna be whatever the Indianapolis Motor Speedway does.
Okay.
Whenever they make their announcement, which I'm guessing they're going to try to do enough in advance, so it's not utter chaos. So whatever they decide, I figure they have people who, you know, this is what they're doing all day, every day. So we'll just go along with whatever they do, pretty much.
And that's a good idea. I'm not going to make the call on the Texas Wisp meetup for at least another month or so, because I don't want to sign up a hotel or anything like that, because there's some indication that this thing could easily go into late summer.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I'd even question if Wispapalooza is even going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff's going to be pushed back and pushed back, and what does that do for the things that are pushed back? You know, they're talking about concerts and stuff like that. Do they, you know, when all this is said and done, are they going to kind of start at that point, or are they going to say, okay, everybody before this, just, you know, we'll deal with it later, and it goes on from there like nothing happened, or what's going to go on?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting. If it's Corona takes this long or impacts us that much, that's talking massive problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only logistics and, you know, staffing and, you know, I'm a big toy geek, so they're talking about San Diego Comic-Con being canceled, and that's huge. They got people who they commit to that a year or 2 years in advance, and the only time they can schedule them. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. At least we're in the internet business. I'm thankful for that.
Well, I hate to say this, but it will probably be a prosperous time for us. It's bad conditions, but, I mean, our leads have just gone through the roof.
Yeah.
And people wanting service. So, you know, it's phenomenal growth.
And I'm hearing that from several of my clients. I just worked the last couple of days on a fiber circuit upgrade for an ISP here in Indiana. They kind of pushed the company providing the fiber to get it done, you know, sooner and sooner because of this. And usually what would be a 10 or 15 day turn up got accomplished in 2 days.
Yeah.
And they needed it.
What's very interesting for us is we haven't seen an increase yet. But I say yet because we've been behind the times. I mean, they just shut down the beaches today.
Ah, okay.
Everyone in our area was content on making spring break continue, which, I mean, yeah, it needs to. I'll give you an idea. One of my IT clients, I was out there yesterday installing an access point. It's spring break, and there's 3 vacation rental companies in this complex. The parking lot should have been – I shouldn't have been able to park in the parking lot. And when I left at 4, there were maybe 10 cars.
Okay.
So this is the first week we're really seeing people go home. So I'm anticipating seeing that increase. On the IT side, just this week, we've seen an increase – not an increase. We've seen an influx in set me up to work from home.
Yeah, which is a perfect segue into what are you seeing for these people that are, you know, they're now working from home? What's your common thing that you're having to do?
Oh yeah, I mean we're troubleshooting all kinds of other provider internet problems. I won't say the provider.
are they mainly, you know, hey, I've been paying for this service, and now that I'm actually using a good chunk of it, it's kind of breaking down?
Yes, yeah, is right now. I mean, we just did a router upgrade last night at 2 a.m. because we hit capacity as well. But right now, everyone's at capacity, so we're seeing that be a problem with people working from home. Even on the IT side, we're even getting clients that are on national telecoms calling us saying, hey, we can't load this web page. And it's like, we can't fix it for you guys. Call your ISP. So, yeah, it's just interesting on both sides.
Are you
for the technology world, there's going to be an increase. Not an increase, I mean a prosperous time.
Yes.
I can tell you right now, I can't even get any laptops from our distributors. Everyone's sold out.
Okay. And I think it's one of those, it's kind of stress test time. There's a lot of people out there, I'm sure, that have even older Linksys WRT54 routers that, you know, hey, it's worked fine now that everybody's home, and they're showing their age.
Hey, I was pretty happy at a tower site last night. I got 60 megs on my phone from a Gen 1 UAP.
Nice. Nice.
Still take it.
Are you having a lot of people call in, JJ, that say, hey, I'm having to upgrade speeds, or, you know, my employer sent me home, and what do I do now?
Yeah, we've had a lot of those requests. I mean, when I say a lot, it's probably in perspective, not very much. But yeah, we had, you know, probably three or four requests today. Some of them we can't take care of because they're on our LTE systems and we're kind of constrained with we're kind of constrained with speeds on some of those. But we're working on trying to work with our vendors to see what we can do about getting more, restructure them so we can provide more speed. You know, I'm part of what Steve Cran's trying to do with getting everyone in the STA so we can function, also get more higher, you know, access more spectrum too.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was just about to bring that up and ask if you have pursued that avenue yet.
Oh yeah, I've already sent in a request. I mean, if you've seen followed the WISPA emails, just put your name on the list with Cran, and I better be doing it today. I think is the final day. I think, or maybe tomorrow, but he's trying to get it where it's all finalized next week.
Right. What while we mention that, because I know there's a lot of people talking on Facebook about the move about restriction letter from the DHS and whether there needs to be an accompanied permit, whether there doesn't need to be an accompanied permit.
I know I've ran into that a couple times over, you know, the last time we really ran into it was 9/11. At least the local agencies, they at least knew who's who. You guys probably show up in company trucks, and it's the old adage that if you walk into a place with a clipboard and a safety vest, most people probably aren't going to mess with you. You know, you look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but I like to know if that letter that WISPA got. You know, is that official or not? That's, you know, or, you know, someone was mentioning that you actually need passes, not that letter that you can easily fabricate.
Yeah.
I think it if you're a local person and the cops know you, it's not that big of a deal.
But if you're trying to go into what's the New Jersey town where everybody's, you know, they're not. The government always keeps saying, well, they're not officially, you know, being told to stay home, but we're telling them to stay home. You know, they have a curfew.
The National Guard is deployed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to know you.
No.
Well, at least I'm going to have to get my, car magnets out and put them on my truck, at least for the time being.
Yeah, this is where having branded vehicles come in handy.
Exactly.
I don't know about there, but out here, we don't even get pulled over in branded vehicles.
Yeah, so. My guys do, and then they get asked by the cops, hey, do you service this address? I thought that was funny. One of our guys got pulled, and they didn't get a ticket, just a warning, but I thought that was comical.
Several years ago, in our little small town, when I had my WISP, this has been 2004 time frame, one of my tower sites went down, and I went speeding out of town. I was doing about 60 and a 40 on the edge of town. Police officer stopped me, and he knew me. He's like, well, I assume you're going to fix my internet. I'm like, yeah, you're off that tower, so I'm going to fix that. And he's like, well, slow down, you know, next time I'll give you a ticket, but you know, don't speed too much. You'll use all your profits on speeding tickets, so just watch it.
Yeah.
So JJ, you mentioned a responsible internet usage guide. What's up with that?
Oh, that was Casey Immigarten with AirLink posted that on Facebook, and I think it's basically, you know, he said this is what he calls it, his responsible internet user guide, that basically don't run speed tests after speed tests after speed tests. You know, it's basically needlessly, you know, clogging up our pipes with stupid data just so you can see if you're getting the speeds you're getting. You know, and Casey's kind of putting it out there, and yeah, I think it's I'm fine with it. But he also says set your Netflix video streaming service to just standard definition or good video definition. Don't leave your streaming service running while you take a nap. I know some of my clients will leave it running 24/7.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm guilty of streaming and falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody is. It's, you know, it's nice to have the background noise. You know, that's why I listen to a lot of music, because if I turn on the TV and if I, you know, after a little while, if I'm doing work, it just becomes background noise, and I don't think about it too much. I got a Comcast cable modem, so I don't think about it too much, but then I'm like, well, I still have a data cap, so I might as well, you know, not use that.
Yeah, so he also has on here, think about peak time usage. You know, if you're doing a huge amount of uploading and downloading, do it in the off hours. You know, gaming consoles require lots of updates.
Yep.
You know, so you may want to try to push those to certain times of the day or limit the downloading usage. And we get this, you know, we'll get this also as requests, and we have to keep educating the people over and over and over. If you VPN in and you try to speed test, it will not work, people.
Yeah.
No.
So he just reiterates this again. So it's just interesting.
Well, I was reading a thing the other day on one of the IT groups on Facebook. I think you're a member of it too, Spencer. The guys were talking about split tunneling. And how it's overloading some of these corporate networks, because some of these networks are not doing split tunneling. So now someone establishes a VPN, or they're mailed a router from the company, and the router's not doing split tunneling, and now all of a sudden all this Netflix traffic is hitting the corporate network, and it's that's becoming an issue too.
Yeah. You know, that for me personally, that's why I prefer to do the VPN on the client's laptop.
Yep.
This is it. You're not going to get it on your network. I know a few guys that, you know, you work at home, they send you a router, put this on your router, but who the heck does that? You know, they just replace their router, and it's the business router. It's better.
Yeah.
Where you fail to get split tunneling.
Yep. So it's just a good point to say, look, you can't, if you video stream, you speed test through the VPN, it just won't work, people. Unless you know what you're doing, the VPN configuration, it just won't work. So it was, but that was his internet, responsible internet user guide that he posted on his Facebook. I'm sure he did a mass mailing out on it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And I said, hey, can I steal this? I said, I think this is awesome. And of course, he said, yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, it's.
You know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's something you can add to your, you know, your terms of condition, page 2, responsible use. So you give it to them, email it to them. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with that.
Yeah.
You guys think after all this is blown over, you'll have requests for more managed routers, and hey, how do I control this the next time?
We install MikroTik RB951 as our DMARC.
Uh-huh.
So we automatically put managed routers in. What I did was basically up my monthly usage or my monthly price by $10. And then we just give everyone a MikroTik.
Mm-hmm.
And are you finding that during this time, are you going in and mass editing any of those MikroTik configs yet to say, hey, I'm going to let everybody know, but maybe, you know, I'm going to drop everybody's speed down by 100K, or have you not even considered that yet?
No, I'm not considered that yet. Not right now, I mean, right now, if you sign up for my 10 meg plan, you get 12 meg. If you're my 15 meg plan, you get like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
The next step would be probably for me to say, if you're on my 10 meg plan, you get 10 meg.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. Good question, I think, though. And I don't think it's needed there yet. If this stays prolonged, then yes, I think we need to start exploring those. Now, what I'm trying to work with, since we use Perseem, I reiterated it to Garrett when he was on site this past week. It would be great if Prasim had the ability to say, hey, during like 3 a.m. to 3 p.m., they can go as fast as they want, but from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m., then let's put everyone in their plans.
Yeah.
Fair usage plan.
So it's a benefit because during the day, I mean, honestly, I know we're all bitching about this work from home, but reality, our daytime usage is always light. We have ample capacity. It's the evening hours that are the problem child.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not too worried about my overall usage. I see it up by no means, but I mean, I don't think this is honestly a big, big deal.
Now, I think the majority of people are kind of getting used to it. And once they get used to it, I think they'll find that, especially from the business side, you're not doing that much intensive things for the most part. You're writing emails, you're doing documents. Yeah, sure, there's different industries that are uploading CAD files and this and that. But, you know, for the most part, the internet of business really isn't that intensive.
Correct.
You know, people always ask me, you know, I talk about my Comcast, I got a terabyte of usage with Comcast. They're like, oh man, you know, being an IT person, you know, you must always be worrying about that. And you know, we don't have any kids, and our average usage is like 300 gig a month. And that's with all the stuff I do, but I'm doing Winbox and SSH and, you know,
everything low data.
Yeah. So, and we watch a decent amount of Netflix and, things like that. And yeah, it's not as bad as what people think. And I don't think
speed's going to be the issue. Where I see the problems is services. So as we've seen GoToMeeting and Zoom crashing all over the place, I believe Microsoft Teams went from 20 million users, to 200.
Wow.
in a week. So, you know, you're seeing all these businesses mass sign up for services because they need it today, but none of these services had time to ramp up for it. So that's where I see that and increased DDoS attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's going to slow down internet everywhere. But people are using internet, whether it's at their office or at home. And if you're a provider in the town or in a town, you're going to have that usage one place or the other, correct?
Yep.
You may have a little bit more for the guys that are streaming in the background at home because their boss isn't watching.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I work from home and I constantly stream. The TV's running, it's on mute, it's quiet. It just, when I'm not staring at the computer, it's something to look at to numb my mind from daily tasks.
Yes. I find myself a lot of times I'll go downstairs with my phone and I'll flip through, you know, a couple channels, find CNBC or, you know, something that's going to inform me. But heck, I find myself a lot of times looking at the phone on YouTube. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it becomes my habit. And that's, like you say, that's my little, you know, numb my brain for a little bit time. So we're kind of getting up on the half hour mark. You guys have any thoughts you want to share? If not, we'll wrap things up and call this one done.
What do you think about, I know since they canceled Wisp America, how successful do you think it would be for a virtual show? I mean,
I was kind of thinking about that, and, you know, going to a physical show, that makes me go. You know, I'm there, I'm engaged. If it's a virtual show, I'm probably not going to be as engaged. It's like the Cambium webinar the other day. I really wanted to go to it and, you know, get an update on what's going on. But, you know, I spaced it and I didn't have it on my calendar. So it wasn't right in front of me. So I missed it.
I'm the same way. For me, if I sign up for almost all the webinars, and I'm like, I really want to go to that. And then an emergency call comes up 2 hours before it, or an hour before, or I'm on a service call, or I'm out at customers, and it bleeds into that time, and now I've missed it. If I'm physically here at work, I can't just designate time for like a virtual show. Whereas leaving town and being there, yeah, the office may call and say, hey, there's this problem. Hey, there's this. And I'll tell them, give me a minute. I'll log in and look at it. You know, I can do that at my time. But if I'm here, I've got the, you know, I've got people bugging me. Hey, go, this needs to be done. Go do this. Go do that. So it just, it makes it hard.
Yep.
What about you, JJ? Are you the kind of same way? And you got
all
this?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about on the, because I'm on the agenda committee for at least the WISP America, that, you know, everyone likes to talk to them about the virtual, but I mean, I told them straight up, look, my ADD is going to kick in really strong and I'm just going to kind of wander away. The appeal of the show is always to me is the, you know, talking to people.
Yes.
That's what I like. You know, they're still trying to do we're talking about the, they're wanting everyone to do, you know, the recordings, and we're going to put recordings up. So they're going to put an effort into it. I just wanted to get your opinion on virtual shows, and not necessarily just WISP America virtual shows, but other virtual shows that you may have been a part of, you know?
Yeah. And if it's something I'm really interested in, I'll make the effort, especially if it's something I can log in and look at later, like YouTube or something like that. You know, if I can go in and, hey, I want to look at all videos on, you know, VPNs today. I want to educate myself on new VPNs or whatever. And if I can, you know, I'll take 3-4 minutes and go through and, okay, that looks like a video I'll watch later. That looks like one I'll save them. So if I could do that, that would help if I didn't have to say, okay, I got to sit down there at, you know, 12 o'clock and, you know, sit there during that. I'll wander away. I took a picture of a freaking fat squirrel out of my window today. You know, I watched that thing for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an honest, do an honest effort. They'll do a good job, I'm sure. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you got all us geeks out there who, you know, ooh, shiny thing. And we get bombarded with the emails and the marketing emails as it is. Yeah. So we kind of, you know, we get a little, you know, we get a little immune to it.
Yeah. My suggestion was to do focus more on the regional shows. So like have WISPA actually try to help promote your event, Justin, yeah, in Indianapolis, do ours in Texas, and maybe try to do another one on the West Coast and kind of one on the East Coast. Find a local WIS who's willing to put a sponsorship, you know, I'll help gather all the people, you know? Yeah.
I really like that idea because, you know, like you said, there's so much more than just the content of WISP America, WISPapalooza. You know, to me, the best deals I've ever made are at 1 a.m. after 15 beers.
Yeah.
The distributor. Like, hey, go put that in writing. We'll sign it tomorrow morning. So, you know, we're missing that. Yep. You know, and for all the vendors out there, I know you've got Dallas written on everything. So, you know, feel free to put a care package together and send it to me of all the swag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd enjoy that. And I was talking to Brian Gray at Joink, and he had a good idea for the regional shows. He's like, if you have all these regional shows, have the same content, you know, the same, same agenda at each show, but you just have different speakers from different areas. So you get the same content across 4, 5, 6 shows, essentially, but you get all these different perspectives.
Now, keep in mind that the regional shows WISPA did in 2019 were more an advocacy training class.
Yeah.
So for those who have been to that or heard about that, I don't want people to confuse that with the idea of a regional trade show.
Yeah. Like when we've done our Indiana shows, one of the things we try to do is, okay, let's bring in the WISPA folks. Let's get updates of, because I know there's a fair number of people who've attended our show that don't necessarily go to Vegas or go to every Wisp America. So let's get, you know, updates for them, which may be some of the same stuff we've heard, but at least it gets them updated. And then we get some technical, we get the vendors there. And so we get a nice remix of people.
Yep.
But if we really may not even be able to do the regional shows, it depends on how this coronavirus lasts. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So virtual may be the only way. The other thing I find this is that it could be, in the whole general sense of things, it's not just for us. And I think more of the long-term ramifications of this that I think we should be mindful of is that this is called, I think, could be the catalyst to have a paradigm shift. Hey, if we can work from home and all these people that have to be in the office now can suddenly do their job at home in all the online learning, well, damn, we can do this from home.
Yeah.
It may cause long-term changes where this may be the new norm.
Well, one of the biggest things is the movie theaters. You know, AMC closed theirs for, I think, 12 weeks. And they're talking about, you know, doing the ones that are going to be in the theaters. You pay for it and you get it at home.
Yeah.
You know, I think stuff like that, you know, I know personally, and I've talked to other people, we put money in our home. You know, we put money in TVs and comfortable couches. And yeah, we like to take vacations, but we're not going to take a big extravagant vacation. I'd rather put that money and have a, you know, vacation at home, you know, every weekend.
Well, kind of going on what you were saying, JJ, and I know you do a lot in the IT space as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as I like that idea, I see the other side of employee management and controlling what these employees do. And to me, that's, for some of these employees, would be a nightmare. But at the same time, cut down offices, lower overhead. There's a lot to be pro and con.
Yeah.
All that, and that is where IT managed providers come in with their VCIO services to help guide that client towards what they should be doing.
And for those listening, give me your elevator pitch on what a VCIO service is.
VCIO is the newest thing in managed services, where we are your virtual chief information officer. So any IT, basically, we just research crap and tell you what to buy. that's it. But, you know, having that, as a service that they can call you at any time, you know, that's huge. And a lot of times, like with us, we do quarterly meetings with the head of companies. Mm-hmm. So every quarter we meet with them and ask them, what were your technology pains this quarter? And what are your goals for next quarter? And how can we help you achieve that?
Yeah, that's a very, very nice thing.
And so they need a new ISP. We're positioned right there to lead them to us, or to our provider choice that we get paid to use. This positions you as their decision maker for all technology in the future.
Yeah. And it's something companies need, because if they're, you know, looking to streamline their business and things like that, they want someone that's nimble, and, you know, they don't want the typical IT guy that's head of their IT and doesn't tell them anything.
I'm so tired of Susan signing contracts to stuff she has no idea what they're doing, and then coming in and finding out we can't integrate stuff, or they need to buy a whole nother service.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's so much better this way.
Yes. All right. Well, I won't keep you guys any longer. Any closing thoughts? Are we gonna survive this?
Are we going to survive it? I think we will. Yeah. I don't think we fully anticipate or truly understand what will potentially happen. But, you know, all you can do is be safe, use common sense. You know, yep. I gave the guys, you know, bottles of bleach, bottles of, you know, sanitizer spray and, hey, spray your truck down after you're done with service call, spray everything down, you know, use gloves. If someone's sick, then don't go in, you know, it's not a, you know, just use common practices.
Yeah. Yep. I'm in my truck detailed tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's, that's the big thing is cleaning up your space and in and out behind customers. And we should all be fine. Otherwise this will be our memoirs.
Yep. Keep yourself physically safe, physically safe, but, you know, take care of yourself, of your person. And, you know, like I have a sinus infection. That's why I'm a little bit of have a congested at the moment, but, they wouldn't give me a steroid shot because that weakens your immune system. So it's food for thought.
Wow. Okay.
So that, you know, just, you got to be careful even in what you're taking.
Yes.
A buddy of mine, I just got off the phone with him right before I jumped on this call, and he was saying that he got he's on antibiotics, and the doctor won't let him go back till next week.
Yeah.
To go back to work. So it's like that. Is think about it, and the doctors themselves are thinking how to handle stuff where they wouldn't have been an issue before. Now it is. So just take care of yourself and be mindful of what you're doing. And, you know, other than that, we're trucking along. We're just keep on going, and we wake up, okay. What's today going to look like? You know, news overnight, and
yes.
Is anything changing? You know,
it's exciting and, you know, a little concerning at the same time.
It is, but I think for us in our industry, it's going to be all good news. I don't like why, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
So just take advantage of it. I know there are some people that are saying they're not going to do installs and very limited are they going to do service calls. I get it. I really do.
Yeah, I can understand.
If you can do it, go for it. You know.
Awesome.
And the other thing to think about, and that's what you may want to think about now, I just did a $120,000 lease. I'm buying 300 CPEs and routers and 25 boxes of cables, some licensed links. You know, I'm kind of stocking up for, you know, 6 months.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because we're going to have supply chain issues and things like that. I've always heard the supply chain's about 2-3 months behind. So I think we'll start seeing that pain here in the next month or two.
Yeah, and then I was talking to someone, and they said they just shut down the port of Houston, I think, permanently. Or not permanently, but, you know, temporarily.
Yeah.
Because there's no one there to unload, or they don't want to unload it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see – I honestly believe the entire country, we're going to see supply chain issues in all industries in the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, with the push for everyone to work from home, we're already seeing it on the IT side.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even – a Synology NOS is 2 weeks out right now.
Well, you're saying you can't get laptops.
No, you can't get laptops. Desktops are hard to get. They're not that bad.
They're already hard. Yeah, it's – we're about to have a rude awakening as far as supply. So, if you can afford to go out and stock up, do so.